Will you please pray with me? Well, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was in seventh grade when my mom decided that it was time I joined the youth group. I didn't want to. I liked going to church. I liked sitting in the big sanctuary where no one would pay attention to me, no one would ask any questions of me, and I could just do whatever it was I was doing at the time and really just be. I didn't have to interact with anybody. I could just sit and listen, and or not listen as the case would be, next to my grandmother, next to my mom. But she decided that my faith needed to be changed and needed to grow a little bit, and it was time for me to go to youth group. So she literally dragged me down to where the youth were, in the youth room, behind a closed door. It was really scary. I heard them singing in there, and they were singing, and I could hear a guitar, and I thought, wow, that's weird. I've never seen a guitar in church before. She knocked on the door, and this guy with a shaved head, with really dark black hair and a rat tail, came and answered the door. He's a big guy. He says, "Hi, I'm Craig. Who's this?" And he looks at me. And my mom said, "This is CJ. He needs to come to youth group." And I said, "No, I don't." And he grabbed my hand. He said, "CJ, I'm so glad you're here. Come on in." And he pulled me into that room. And in there I saw 15 other people who were in middle school. I saw about 7 or 8 that were in high school. And there were really comfy couches. And I decided then and there, youth group might be better than church. There were couches. I learned from Craig all sorts of things over the next 2 years. I learned that there's no question that's out of bounds. And if you don't know the answer, that's okay. I learned that not all Christians look alike and definitely don't talk alike. They don't listen to all the same kinds of music. It's not all hymns. It's not all gospel stuff. In fact, Craig introduced me to Christian death metal, which seems like an oxymoron, right? A couple of you actually laughed at that. The really heavy headbanging stuff. And I was like, oh, Christians can do this? And light bulb after light bulb went on. Craig taught me that I can study the Bible even though I don't know anything. Because Craig had a high school education. All he did was love God and tell the church, "Hey, I'll be your youth pastor." Now, he didn't do everything right, especially now that I've looked back on it. But he taught me that not all Christians sit in church on Sunday morning, ignore the pastor, and go out and do absolutely nothing with their faith. Now, I know that's not this church, but there are some churches like that, and you've probably been to one or two of them, right? No, you kids haven't, because you've only been to a couple of churches in your life. That will change, probably. And hopefully, you'll never have one of those bad experiences. You see, because of Craig and how he loved God, and how he answered, that didn't really even answer questions. He asked questions for me and of me. I'm a Christian today. Sure, I was raised in the church. I went to vacation Bible school. I sat in the back with my grandmother going to church. But it never made it here for me until I met Craig. Until I started asking questions of him. And sometimes he would answer with an answer, and most of the time, though, he'd answer with a question. Well, what do you think? He forced me to think about my faith, to take it here where it belonged in part, but he also taught me to love God and to praise God in a way that feels right for me, with guitars and drums. Not to say in Julius that this is wrong, because I love a piano now, and I love the hymns now. But I didn't then. I learned to love God then because somebody talked to me and listened to me. asked questions of me and let me ask questions of him. Now sure, this happens in a church, but it doesn't always have to happen in a church. It can happen anywhere. It can happen next to your mailbox with your neighbor. It can happen at work, at the grocery store, anywhere. And so a couple of weeks ago, I gave you this card, and it had some questions on it, and I know not all of you have kept that card because, well, I assume not all of you have kept that card. And I know not all of you have it because you weren't all here that Sunday. But one of the questions on that card is, in your opinion, who was Jesus? What is your religious background? These are questions about your story. And your story, just like mine that I told you about Craig, helps you think about who God is and how you've experienced God in that life, this life. So like the psalmist in Psalm 71, you can say, when I was young, I experienced this. And over the years, I have experienced God in different ways, so that when I am old and gray, I have a track record of God's faithfulness that I can look back on and say, today really stinks. But the last day that really stunk, God was with me, and I know He's with me today. We establish a track record over time, and those are experience of God in those times that help us on into the future. On into today. God's faithfulness over time reveals God's character and helps us to know God more. That's why it's so important for people who have had faith for a long time to talk to people who are younger and share their experiences. Because, brothers and sisters, I need your faith sometimes. Because you have seen and done and been through things that astound me. That I can't possibly imagine. And I know I'm not the only one who needs someone to lean on from time to time. This is why the psalmist says, I will declare this to the generations to come, the next generation. I will declare God's faithfulness because I've seen it and experienced it. And they need to know, whether they're 5 or 50, they need to know. And how will they know unless someone shares it with them? I want to give you a couple of examples on things that you can talk about with people who either are young in faith or have no faith or are questioning faith or are wondering about faith. One of them is that most people come to Christian faith or experience Christian faith in that it is what we do, right? Sometimes people want to make God proud of them. So they work really hard and they do and they do and they do. But that's not what Christian faith is about, amen? Christian faith is about what God has already done on our behalf. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn God's love, no matter how hard you try. You can't earn your way into creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. God is already doing that. And has done that on your behalf. All we need to do is accept and follow. Now that doesn't mean don't question, it doesn't mean don't think about, it doesn't mean don't reflect, it means accept that Jesus is Lord and that you don't understand what in the world that means, but you want to try and figure it out and follow Him. And trust that by the Holy Spirit you will be better at following Him tomorrow than you are today. You see, Christianity isn't about doing stuff. It's about what God has done on our behalf. Now, don't get me wrong. What God has done on our behalf leads us to doing stuff. But doing stuff isn't what it's really about. It's about God and what God has done, is doing, and will do. And that's one way to talk about it, one way to think about it. Another way to talk about faith and to think about faith is like planting seeds. And I know some of you are farmers, and we have some or retired farmers. You're probably not farmers right here. But I know we have farmers in the congregation. And I know we have gardeners in the congregation. Sometimes faith is like planting seeds. You throw the seed in the ground, and sometimes it comes up and sometimes it doesn't. You see, a couple of months ago, my kids planted little gardens, and they were so excited about the seeds that they planted. Every day they went out to see if they had something coming out of the ground. Sometimes Christian faith is like that. We plant something, or God plants something in us, and sometime, at some point, we get that aha moment, the light bulb, you know, like the cartoon light bulb goes off, and we get it! But then we lose it. And then we get it again! And then we lose it again. And then we get it again. It's so exciting sometimes. Because that's what Christian faith can be for us. Sometimes we see God and we experience God. And we wonder if we ever understood God before. Sometimes we read through Scripture and well, this is really boring. God, why in the world did you include numbers in the Bible? And then we read Numbers and understand that it talks about people. Now, it may not be the exact numbers of people, but people are represented by those numbers. And a light bulb goes off and we think, wow, God's kingdom is so much bigger than I understood. Sometimes it's a natural growth that we only notice when things change, when that seed bursts out of the ground into a seedling. And so maybe your experience of God, maybe your practice of Christian faith is also experienced in this. Some of us can point to a time and say, this is the moment that I chose Jesus. This is the day, this is the hour, this is when my life changed for the better. Right? Some of you can do that. Okay, none of you can do that. So you all fall in this other category. Where you can say, I have no idea when my life changed. But as I look back over my life, I can see all the different things God has done to transform me. I'm not as angry a person as I was 5 years ago. I have more patience with people. I'm better at listening. I'm better at loving. 20 years ago, I never would have pictured myself cooking food and going and feeding strangers. And then sitting down with them and having a conversation. But on Wednesday at 9:30 in the morning, I'm going to go and do that with Cafe of Life. Because that's what God has led me to do. I never could have imagined my life being like this. God must have done something crazy. For some of us, that's how life is, and that's how our faith is. That's our experience of God, is hindsight. And that's why we talk about God sightings in our meetings. You know, in church, we talk, in this church, before every meeting, we talk about where have you seen God at work in your life, lady. And sometimes it's those moments. I know I saw God here. You know, I had a conversation with somebody and God was there. I know it. And other times, you know, I don't know where I've seen God at work. Oh, I think that 5 days ago there was something going on and wow, I never would have thought about it like that before. We experience God and we think about our faith. Sometimes in the moment we're aware, but most of the time it's in hindsight. And this is where the stories come from, right? This is where our stories of faith come from as we think and we reflect and we talk. And like Debbie was talking about at annual conference this week, there was a lot of listening going on. Listening to reports, which, you know, sometimes aren't the most exciting things in the world. Listening to other people share their perspectives, which sometimes is really hard to do because you, if you're like me, you want to jump in and tell them why their perspective is wrong and doesn't make sense. A lot of listening as voices around sing. It's a beautiful thing when you have 1,800 people actually singing a song together. It's beautiful, isn't it? And so I have three questions that I want us to talk about and think about today. And I'm going to make you all really uncomfortable because not all sermons involve you actually talking to each other. It's usually me talking to or at you. Today we're going to talk to each other. We're going to practice listening, like Debbie was talking about at the Love Feast. So these are three questions. You can pick which one you want to talk about, but I want you to find one or two other people in this sanctuary. So make groups of two or three, and you can pick which one of those questions you want to share. Choir, you're actually going to have to leave the choir loft. I know. Well, you can walk over here, because it's hard to see the questions from there. That's why I'm talking about this. So we're going to spend 5 minutes talking. So everybody ready? You don't have to get up. Just turn to someone near you. Ready? Get up if you can and go. 5 minutes, pick those questions and talk. You guys keep talking, but if one person's been doing all the talking, switch to somebody else. We're going to come back up together. And guess what? If you want to continue these conversations with people, after church, you can go down to Fellowship Hall, get some coffee and some snacks, and keep the conversation going. I'm going to say that again, because I love that I had to actually interrupt you, which means you were all talking. Now, whether or not you were talking about these questions, I have no idea, but I'm hoping you were. If you want to keep these conversations going, though, you can go to Fellowship Hall down at the end of the education building after church, after worship. And you can have some coffee and you can keep them going and talking. Because these are sort of questions that we want to be thinking about, to reflect on, and what it means for us as Christians. Because this is part of our story. And when it's time for us to share our story with people, we can share, you know, what does it mean to say Jesus is Lord? Well, this is what it means to me. I don't know if it's the right answer. I don't know if there is a right answer. But this is what it means to me. What does it mean to you? So we're about to affirm the faith that's handed down to us. We're going to do the Nicene Creed, which is put together at the Council of Nicaea. It's been edited a couple of times since then. But this is a statement of faith. And we'll say some things in here we probably don't understand. And that's okay not to understand them. And if you don't want to say them, don't say them. It's okay. But this is something that Christians have put together and been sharing since 326. So we've been saying this for a long time. So I invite you to stand as we join together in this affirmation of faith, found on page 880 of your hymnal and up on the screens.